This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, I took a one-day little R&R, and I've returned.
Wait a minute.
Well, aren't you going to talk about the warm weather?
Well, it is. It was a pretty nice weekend, and it seems
today
around.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, is it yesterday? Well, by now you know who that voice is. That's the one and only Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And, you know, you guys normally talk about how cold the weather is or how wet today. It's going to be like spring-like almost in the 40s.
Well, yesterday it didn't really get to be. The wind was very much noticeable, and it was a cold wind.
Yes, someone named Dorothy came and knocked on my door.
And so even though it may have been 36 degrees, with that wind, I didn't feel. Calvin, did you feel warmth in the? Were you out yesterday?
To be honest with you, I hung out in the house most of the day, so I didn't really sense the weather. But when I let the dogs out, it didn't seem terrible.
Oh well, it was cold, man. I felt the cold. I was out. Hey, you know, look, it's still January, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's supposed to be cold, right?
It is supposed to be cold. It's supposed to be winter. It's supposed to make us hardy. It's supposed to get our brain cells working rapidly so we can be like all the Northern Europeans who came up with all the modern inventions.
You know, Sandy.
During the winter, probably.
You know, Sandy,
all
of the people who you know, talk against climate change, it can't be coincidental that last year was the warmest year on record, you know.
Well, and the year before that was the warmest on record. I mean, every year has been the warmest on record for some long period of time now. And so,
Sandy, the least snow in January, that's what we're facing right now. Three inches of snow we've had in all of January.
Yeah.
There's something going on. I don't, you know, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but there's something happening.
And for there people, definitely is something happening in the weather and elsewise.
Yeah. You know,
we're in a very happening time.
Yeah. You know, I can tell you why we're in such a happening time. Dr. Phil follows ICE officers in Chicago. it's just real. Hey, Calvin, can you play that? Music Sandy hasn't heard, but we're entering into this aura, Sandy. Calvin, if you find it, he'll find it.
Okay, is this going to be music I recognize from a bygone era? I think it is. Yeah, there we go. Rod Serling.
Yeah. Man. We are officially in the Twilight Zone,
Twilight Zone.
Dr. Yeah. Phil following ICE officers in Chicago, man. You know, his name is being tossed around as somebody, you know, who can wind up in a cabinet position. If that's not the Twilight Zone, man, where are we?
All you have to be is a notorious TV commentator. And you can get yourself into a position of, you can get yourself on the king's court very quickly.
Man, it is happening. There's so many things happening. And today you and I are going to talk about many different things, Sandy. And our phone lines open as always at 855-752-4842. You know, you're officially entering into the Twilight Zone because, you know, Sandy, Project 2025, you took a deep dive into it last year. I think you took a whole week, didn't we, or two weeks?
Yeah.
You took a whole week.
Well, it was 900 plus pages. I suffered through all of them. and, you know, it was startling to read, but it's now unfolding in every way, you know. I mean, there was the president, while he was running for office, announced that he knew nothing about it, had nothing to do with it, which, of course, at the time was clearly not the case. And now it is clearly not the case, because almost every step that has been taken, every executive order, is reflective of what it was that was in Project 2025 as the recommendations for the first days in office. Impounding expenditures, firing officers in the Justice Department, taking control of the Justice Department, firing the FBI director and having an FBI director who serves at your pleasure. All of these things were right there, front and center, and some of the most concerning things that were in Project 2025, and now they're happening.
Well, you know, Sandy, and the frightening thing is, this is week number two.
Time flies when you're having fun.
you know, Sandy, it's when you really sit back and try to, when you've been around a while, and you've seen changes in government, and you've seen changes in presidents, and what we haven't seen are major changes that take place to the degree of what we're talking about now, massive changes.
Well, I think most presidents try to plant both feet on the ground very quickly when they become president. So, you know, I think that every president has issued some executive orders earlier in their presidency. They've tried to assert their control over the government apparatuses in some ways. But this is sort of unprecedented, the level of the executive orders that they were all ready to be signed. Numbers of them, particularly the one that was signed last night, terminating or at least freezing all assistance payments and grants, came kind of out of left field. It came out of Project 2025 in all likelihood. But numbers of these things are the kinds of things that will and should probably be tested in court as to being beyond the power of the presidency.
So
we'll talk about it after the break, but this order that came out last night about assistance and grants is clearly an effort by the president to begin the process of impounding expenditures that have been authorized by Congress. And there was the Impoundment Control Act passed by Congress in 1974 that was intended to deal directly with this. President Nixon had gone to some lengths to impound different expenditures, and every time he did so, there was a test of it that went to the Supreme Court. He lost every court case because all of the courts have always said the president has no power of impoundment. And the Impoundment Control Act of 1974 was designed to set up a process that included Congress that might give the president a mechanism for attempting to impound things. And the impoundments that are allowed under the Impoundment Control Act can last no longer than 45 days. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see whether the president tries to follow the Impoundment Control Act, and we'll see exactly how it plays out. But he's definitely going to be testing the extent of the president's power with respect to expenditures, and we can expect the Supreme Court to be front and center.
Yeah, but you know, he controls the Supreme Court. So, Sandy, I've been around long enough to have seen, you know, the change in power over and over and over and over and over again with both Democrats and Republicans, but never anything ever approaching what we're talking about. Do you think that he's in a position to do these things because he had 4 years, then he had 4 years off where he could sit back and see the things that happened during his first 4 years and then watch what happened after his 4 years and then plan and plot?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's had 4 years off. Project 2025 was drafted by a bunch of conservative think tanks over a period of many months. And so there's been a lot of planning that's gone into the potential for this election of a conservative president, and in particular, Donald Trump, a president who's been there before. And, you know, he's going to make lots of mistakes, but they won't be the mistakes he made last time around. These mistakes are going to be the exercise of the excess of power, and also the mistakes that can be made when no one is there to speak truth to power and to try and persuade the president that maybe some of his instincts need to be reconsidered. And so, you know, I think that's the area of mistake now. It's going to be overreach.
So if we look beyond, if we could look into a crystal ball and look beyond the next 4 years, and we could snap our finger and the 4 years are over, our government and the American people are going to have learned so much from this, from these 4 years of how we need to protect our government and democracy from this ever happening again. Is it safe to say that?
Well, that would be the notion that the pendulum is swung way out and the pendulum will start swinging back as the result of the public's realization of how far out we have gotten. I do think that's the most likely outcome, but there are other outcomes possible, particularly if this president is able to install a bunch of changes in the balance of power that cause a new president to be able to exercise a great deal more power.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And we're going to talk about what is a meritocracy system. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird. Shouts of welcome were heard. His visit to their island is bound to be an epoch in local history. Definitely marking a new era, keeping Trinidad in America.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, Sandy, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to give people an opportunity to kind of guess, you know, where you're coming from with your music.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to try it out. You know, okay. we're going to have to wait to after the first several songs before they can kind of try to figure it out.
But yeah, that one was Ry Cooder singing a song about Trinidad.
All right. So, you know, if you got an idea of where you think Sandy's going with the music, we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. So, Sandy, you know, what is a meritocracy system? Let me just read this paragraph. Meritocracy is an ideology wherein those who work hard are rewarded for their ability and effort. From a sociological perspective, the meritocratic system believes that successful people are fully deserving of such. A meritocratic system is one where jobs and pay are allocated to individuals based on their talent and achievement rather than their ascriptive factors like social, class, gender, ethnicity, or wealth. In contrast, those who do not work hard are seen as underachieving and will not be rewarded. The idea of meritocracy was first coined by British sociologist Michael Young in 1958 and has received much attention since. So, Sandy, I would ask you, you know, I've been hearing, you know, we're in a meritocratic system now from on conservative outlets. And prior to Trump getting in office, I hadn't heard that. And maybe people have been pushing for this for a long time. But I think it's important that people understand what the definition of it is. And then you find yourself in that system. Where do you fit in this system? Because this belief that working hard is somehow you're going to get rewarded for working hard in this system is just not true.
Well, I think what's interesting about the definition is it uses the term regardless of ethnicity, okay? And I think the people who are today touting this change, this supposed change towards a meritocracy, are doing it because they were upset about the notion that ethnicity might come into play in the evaluation of people on the job, for instance. And let me just say that the first of all, DEI is not by definition an affirmative action program. The DEI that has been the subject of all this attention recently is an education program, and it's an education program that was carried out both privately and then after it became the norm, a norm privately, it became a part of government operations as well. But I come from an era when people thought we lived in a meritocracy, and in fact we didn't. Okay, so that I can give you firsthand information. I graduated from a law school in New York City in 1970. Was on the law review of the New York Law School, and on the law review with me were probably 40% of us were probably Jewish. At that time in New York, the most highly regarded law firms in New York City refused to hire Jewish people, okay? So they had a meritocracy? I think not. They would have asserted that they lived in a world of meritocracy, but they actually discriminated in a negative fashion. And there was a long period of time in our history, and it remains today, where race has been used undoubtedly invidiously in a way to defeat what might otherwise be a meritocracy, to exclude some people even from consideration. So I think The notion that DEI was designed to create preferences for race, I think, is just plain incorrect. I think DEI was being installed so that a meritocracy would operate and would make sure that included in the consideration of those with merit would be an equal consideration of people regardless of ethnicity. To basically, DEI is designed, I think, to uncover within us our hidden biases and the things that might hide from ourselves the way in which we would bias our evaluation of merit.
So, Sandy, when you look at federal contracts that have been in place and had these stipulations predicated on what had happened in the past, this new movement eliminates those standards that have been put in place on federal contracts and others to be inclusive when these contracts go into place. And so,
I think much of the attack, for instance, on DEI and the military has been that one notion, it's a waste of time. Why are we going through this process of educating people about bias and trying to overcome it? Number one. Number two, there's an argument much like the critical race theory arguments, which, you know, argued really about the teaching of history, not critical race theory, which was they were teaching shame because we were trying to identify in people things that might, I guess, be shameful if we have them. DEI was designed, I think, to identify in people the bias that was hidden from themselves, not to create a shame, but just to make people aware of the fact that maybe we all do a form of profiling that might be invidious with respect to measuring merit.
Well, again, though, Sandy, meritocracy, which is what they're touting now. This is what we want. This is what the nation should be. And this is what we're going by now. And so that's the standard that I'm hearing being preached from the Republicans right now, the Republican Party, and this is the new America. It doesn't discriminate against anybody. And so, you know, now everything is equal, and that's the way we're going to see it. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you, your thoughts on what, you know, I mean, meritocracy. Because that seems to be the order of the day on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Abilene, Abilene, prettiest town I've ever seen.
This is... The song intended here is Abilene by Peter Mulvey. It's a different song. This one isn't going to meet the trend here.
Okay, we'll have him look into it. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And so we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have you guess, you know, what Sandy's thoughts are for his music today. So, but before we went to break, we were talking about what meritocracy is, which seems to be something that's being touted now by the Republican Party, and this seems to be the direction that this nation is headed in. A meritocratic society is one where jobs and pay are allocated to individuals based on their talent and achievement rather than their ascriptive factors like social class, gender, ethnicity, or wealth. In contrast, those who do not work hard are seen as undeserving and will not be rewarded. The idea of meritocracy was first coined by British sociologist Michael Young in 1958 and has received much attention since. Young reflected that meritocracy will result in dystopia, and that social status being dependent on the natural abilities and hard work would establish further inequities. However, many societies have increasingly recognized meritocracy as a positive system. So, you know, I would say, Sandy, last paragraph. The allocation of rewards is justified. Reward allocation is justified by meritocratic ideology in the whoever performs best deserves the highest reward. It provides a moral basis of allocating rewards such as money, status, and social and societal success. Meritocracy corresponds to the functionalist idea that ascription should be replaced by achievement. This contrasts with rewards given through nepotism and bribery, among other methods. This means that for society to perform most efficiently, differences in achievement should lead to different rewards. Sandy, I don't, you know, that's some pretty descriptive information about where we're headed. And I don't believe, I honestly don't believe that this is leading us towards giving equal opportunities to people in this country.
Well, I think the semantics of the meaning of it sort of beg the question. Okay, so everyone believes that how well you perform on the job and what your capabilities are ought to be measured in some objective fashion, so that when people are considered for jobs or when people are considered for promotions, it's based on merit, okay? It's based on how well they do and how well they're likely to do based on some objective criteria. All of that's hard to argue with. The point is that does the system that's in place do an adequate job of doing that, particularly if we have embedded in us hidden biases? You know, are we more afraid of when we walk down the street, do we find ourselves recoiling with some fear when we see three young African-American boys walking together in our direction? Many people will realize that, yes, they have a reaction to that isn't based on fact, that isn't based on a real risk. It's based on some form of profiling that they do. And we all have biases, you know, and it's something we all have to recognize. And only when you recognize your biases can you overcome them for the purpose of actually measuring merit.
So
that's what DEI was all about. And eliminating DEI, I think, only promises to move us back in the direction away from the capacity to really actually accurately measure merit.
So, Sandy, this meritocracy, is predicated on the person who sits in the seat of power and who they are and what their beliefs are. Because
exactly.
you're leaving it up to the individual now.
And well, it's all up to the individual. All the efforts to try and improve this process have been aimed at the individuals who might be in decision-making positions to help them make better decisions. That's what DEI was about. That's why DEI was taught at the academies. That's why DEI was being taught to generals and leaders in the military. It's why we have the process, because it's aimed at helping us make better decisions that might be more, from an analytical standpoint, better based on actual merit and not based on hidden bias.
So James says equality primarily means in the Declaration of Independence the implication that they are equal under the law, thereby people would have equal opportunity to pursue a way of life that would please them as long as they had social responsibility about the way they do it. There was no thought of a special protected class.
Well, we're not talking about protected. I mean, you know, I think that affirmative action has been eliminated, okay? And so now, do we have protected classes? I'm not sure. I think what we have is an effort to educate people so that they can understand how to measure merit in a truly objective fashion without the burden of potential biases that we might have.
You know, Sandy.
The DEI is not about preferences, I don't believe. And I don't think that, so that they've been conflated, you know, so that the notion that transgender people have achieved some kind of favored status through DEI isn't the case. I don't think the DEI programs involve any sort of protected classes, or I think what it involves is an analysis of ourselves to determine whether we have within us biases that might be masked to us, but which might impede our ability to reflect merit in the decisions we make.
You know, Sandy, I've heard this constantly. Phone lines open at 855-752-4842. I heard this constantly over the last several years. The military can't hire, it can't get more recruits because white males feel like they're going to be discriminated against because of DEI and other things. And so qualified white males are not going into the military. We've got to fix that. And this is the verbiage that was tossed around over the last couple of years prior to this move now to go into the military and basically clear it out so qualified white males can feel as though they're going to be able to be promoted more so than supposedly people of color and transgender people who somehow are getting, you know, a better kick at the cat.
Well, I don't know if they're getting a better kick at the cat. They might be getting a kick at the cat that wasn't previously there. I've not seen any analysis that was empirically based that demonstrates that decisions have been made more less based on merit in the recent period than they have been in the past. I think that there probably is an effort to have a leadership cadre that looks something like the people that are being led, and that might be an important criteria for leadership in an organization. So, you know, that might be all part of merit, quite frankly.
855-752-4842. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Meritocracy. Listened to Pete Hegseth, watched it on C-SPAN. He spoke of that the military was the most segregated, merit-based institution in our government, and that's the way it should be. DEI is dead in the military, thank God. Because that's not what it's been there for.
Well, I think we probably would need to talk about what DEI is so we could talk about whether it needs to be dead or not. But let me ask you a question, CJ. Do you find yourself, when you're walking in the city of Milwaukee, do you have a reaction that you might admit to if you are approached by a group of five young African-American boys, high school age, dressed in the fashion that they might be dressed in? Does that affect you?
What does that have to do with it?
DEI is about, because what I'm trying to do is go through a process here of trying to, you and we all do profiling. Jesse Jackson admitted to doing profiling with respect to young black men. We profile because we have experiences, or we don't have experiences, but we have fears and we have biases that are built into us. Like I said, I graduated from law school at a time when the very smartest people in my class, a majority of them, were Jewish, but none of them were getting hired into the very best law firms in New York City. All of those law firms would have claimed that they operated on a complete meritocracy, and yet they didn't. And so, you know, I'm simply asking you whether you believe you might have within you any biases that could affect your judgment.
Well, would you walk down that street at 10 o'clock on.
There you go. I mean, CJ, you're deflecting. You know what we have to do is self-evaluate and decide whether, in fact, we might have biases. And if we have those biases, we at least have to take them into account when we're making decisions that we think ought to be based on merit or on the best interests of the organization in which we are located.
So CJ, I'm simply
telling you that your view of DEI, which is probably based on zero experience with it, might not be correct with respect to some of the conceptual underpinnings of why DEI was implemented.
And Sandy, that's the best explanation. What you just said is really what this is about. Right? But
well, I mean, that's how DEI was conceived. I don't know how it's implemented at all places, but I believe that that you, CJ, being a self-employed person, at least that's my perception of your situation, have had zero experience with what DEI means. It's not affirmative action.
Well, I want to judge people by their content of character.
Oh, come on, man. That's a cliche.
Well, no, but that's exactly what I'm getting at, CJ. If you have a bias within you that might affect your judgment, then you at least ought to understand that bias so that you can take it into account, don't you think?
Yeah, but Sandy, he said he wants to judge people by the content of their character. He just responded before that if he saw those black young men walking down the street, he wasn't going to judge them by their character. Because he's already got a preconceived idea, he asked you if you would do it.
Right.
So don't tell me about you want to judge them by the content of their character, CJ. That's, again.
No, simply the fact. The content of character seems to be, I don't care about the color of their skin. Maybe
I think we need to understand whether we care about that.
We live in a society that does. 855-752-4842 is the number. You know, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And, you know, to be quite frank with you, I think, Sandy, the conversations and that you and I talk about these issues, very few people will broach them. And I think that's why, you know.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And we're going to ask you a little bit later on in the show to kind of guess, you know, where Sandy's coming from with his music. You know, we got several more songs, so we'll give you a little bit more of it. And then if we can't get anybody to guess, Sandy, you'll let us know exactly, you know, why you are playing what you're playing today. But we've been talking about meritocracy and where, you know, the nation, and I'm listening to conservatives and Donald Trump and others, and we want this to be a merit-based system, and we're questioning whether or not it is that. Phone lines are a jam, so let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Richard from Waukesha. Richard, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Well, I got a question or some news for Sandy. It's kind of political and race and music. Did you ever listen to Harpo Marx? He plays pretty good, and he gave some lessons to Harry Truman on the piano in the White House. He's got quite a political past, but he can't sing. He's kind of like Bob Dylan.
Yeah, we know who Harpo Marx is. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Can you name all the Marx brothers?
Not at the moment right here, but I...
Chico, Groucho, Harpo. Yeah.
Yeah, there are three of them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Harpo never talked. He just ran around with a horn and playing instruments.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Richard, your thoughts on the conversation?
He couldn't talk because they politically left Europe, and he kept getting himself in trouble when he talked. He performed in Russia, all over Russia and Germany, and they had to flee Europe. Because as Groucho Marx would say, I'm German and...
Hey, so Richard, any thoughts on our conversation?
Well, you know, everybody has some built-in thoughts from their upbringing, you know. So when you expect somebody to be a certain way and they're not, you know, it shakes you up a little.
Oh. So you're talking about the hidden sort of the bias we have that's within each of us that might keep us from making judgments about others that are absolutely accurate.
Hey Richard, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
I say that you know, more CJ's ignorance and just
stupidity. Well, let's not waste any time on CJ, man, because. You know, let's just, you know, your thoughts on meritocracy.
Well, it's just, let's call this what it is, okay? It's not meritocracy. It's not like Trump had a staff of people go and look at people's files and see what their workability was. They have a problem with gay, transgender people. It's a racial and it is a sexual-based hatred that they have for these people. So they're not looking at anybody's ability. And as far as what he mentioned about the military, oh, thank God, the military. What does anybody care, including CJ, who's out there grabbing a rifle and protecting him and his rights and his freedoms? It's just all a waste of time, and it's just all racial and sexual orientation hatred. So you can call it meritocracy. You can call it whatever you want. But that's not what it is, and that's not what's going on.
Hey, Brendan, you know, I don't disagree with anything you said, man. You know, you're a stand-up guy for calling it, you know, just the way it is, man. Thank you very much for the call. Ann from Chippewa Falls, good morning to you, Ann. You say what?
Yeah, I think we all have some preconceived ideas, and especially if you grew up in certain areas. Like, literally, if I saw three white dudes at 10 o'clock at night, I might veer off to a different block. And the same way with three black guys, just because I'm a woman, I start to feel some urges to, you know, not be in that situation.
Understandable. So,
you know, and I know you don't want us to bring up anything about CJ, but I just have to make this point. CJ is hiring on character, really? Then why did he vote for Trump? Also, now the right is saying it's good to have higher prices. Because when you pay these prices, you're being more patriotic. Has the right totally lost their minds? What a bunch of BS. Thank you.
Hey, Ann, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I'm a guy who, depending on where it is in the city of Milwaukee and what time of the evening it is, there's a good chance I may walk on the other side of the street if there are some black guys, you know, who are coming. And so, you know, when we get into this kind of conversation and this kind of, you know, thing about meritocracy and all, it brings these kind of things to the surface, Sandy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that what really, you know, if we want to make the best objective decision about what's best for the organization in which we operate, we need to understand how and why we make our own personal decisions.
855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.